Happy to be here.
Yeah.
Just want to remind everyone, this is a call-in show. If you want to call in with questions, the number is 963-2976. Did I get it right?
Yeah.
I better get it right.
Yeah.
Today we're going to be talking about Google grabbing health records. Not sure if I fully understand that subject. Maybe we can parse that out. Also, streaming and TV shows in the modern era. Maybe a little conversation about digital assistants and Star Wars. I'm just bringing up Star Wars kind of in the realm of the streaming, because with the new Disney Plus, there are now new Star Wars offerings for the Star Wars nerds out there. Maybe let's get it started with that, since that's where I'm at. Disney Plus just released, what was it, last week?
It was fairly recently. I haven't looked at it. I have other services that I use, and I haven't.
We're super accurate with the information here on Geek Speak. Doesn't matter. It was sometime recently.
Yeah.
Disney Plus released, and all of the Disney content, including all of the content they recently acquired by purchasing Fox. So that includes properties like Avatar or, I don't know, that's the only one I can think of that was under Fox.
I'm sure there's a whole bunch of them, but that's the only one I can.
There's definitely a lot. Like, just imagine the you know, every time you've watched a movie and you see the dun da 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 da, right?
Right, all the time.
With the spotlights and the, is it Fox 20 or what is it called?
20th Century Fox.
20th Century Fox. So, with Disney Plus, before we get into Star Wars, tell me about, all I searched was Disney Plus, and I saw the word Disney Plus hacked, question mark. You know anything about that?
So I saw an article on that earlier today saying that there's a bunch of accounts for Disney Plus that have been set up since the release date or maybe pre-release, and they've come through and they're for sale online with username and passwords and things like that. So I'm not sure exactly how far down the rabbit hole that goes, but definitely looks like they may have had some kind of issue there.
I wonder how that works. Like, how does that kind of hack work? Because it's not like somebody hacked in and breached a bunch of data and then leaked it. This is just actual accounts. So somebody must have had the ability to register accounts that didn't actually exist or that nobody actually paid for, right? Or did somebody pay for accounts and then distribute out the passwords to a bunch of people? I guess we don't know, huh?
Yeah, I don't know if it has the same kind of things as like Netflix, where you can have like four TVs going at a time for premium and one for if you're a standard user and so on.
Maybe they just haven't come up with those features yet, but it seems like that's something that they would have preemptively figured out. Like, it's 2019, almost 2020. This is the age of password sharing for services that require a password to use.
And that's a topic all on its own.
Password sharing?
Right, because are people going to allow us, you know, are services like this allowing, you know, it's like, well, you have four or five devices. It's like, well, if I share that password with my kids or my stepkids or friends, whatever it may be, it's like, well, are you allowed to do that or not? And at some point they're going to have to put in the terms of services exactly what that means by sharing passwords, since it's so, it's like in lieu of, you know, downloading it through torrent or, you know, accessing it from a nefarious point, you know, accessing the content nefariously through other means.
Yeah, that's kind of an awkward sticking point if you think about it, because exactly, I could purchase Netflix and then maybe, what if I have like six kids and they all are watching at the same time? Is Netflix going to come to me and say, that's not allowed? But like, what if they all live in my house and they all have their own device? It doesn't matter, because Netflix says you can only have four devices
streaming at the same time.
Yeah, so how do they deal with those legal discrepancies?
I think that's a question that hasn't been answered yet.
I think it's probably answered mostly by what makes them the most money.
Well, that's the ultimate outcome, yes.
So there you go. I guess if you have a question, then you can just answer it with that. What makes them the most money? All right.
I was just looking to see if the Disney Plus thing was listed on Have I Been Pwned.
Okay, so what is Have I Been Pwned? I haven't heard of that.
So I'd have to look up the guy's name, but basically a security researcher spends most of his time and has backing now collecting all the databases from these breaches. And so you can plug in your email address and it'll say, oh, you were part of, and, you know, XYZ, you know, breaches.
Public service announcement. So. You should check and make sure that your email has not been pwned. Oh, no, pwned. Pwned on 6 breached sites? So yeah. What does that mean? If I've been, like, what should I do now?
So look at the date of each one of the, so, like, mine's listed, so there's an Apollo one that was in July of 2018, and it tells you a little bit of information about it. And then mine was also in the May 2016 LinkedIn breach.
Uh-huh.
And so if you look at the date and you say,
oh, I get it.
I haven't changed the password since that time frame, probably time to break out the dice and make new passwords.
Well, that is good to know because, yes, I have been on 6 breach websites, including the Apollo one. There's also this Canva thing, which I have never used, but I inherited an email. So that email, I guess I should be changing the password here. Check it out, people. Have I been pwned? And if you aren't familiar with the term pwned, it is spelled P-W-N-E-D, pwned.
Right.
And it's like a internet term for owned.
Well, it's a malformation because you have O and P right next to each other.
Right.
So if you're typing really fast in the IM in some video game, it's pretty easy to hit the P instead of the O. So now it's sort of, that's just the default now.
Yeah, that's just what it's become. This is like an old internet term. Like, this goes way back.
Yeah.
Right? So if you want to find out, I guess maybe the more general advice you should have is just go change your passwords. Just do it. Right?
Well, make sure, my current advice is if you're going to make sure you have one good password, put it on your email account.
Right.
It is the keys to the kingdom. Mm-hmm. So if somebody gets into your email account, you know, they can go to any other website and say, I forgot my password.
Email me here.
And then they have access. They follow the links to log in and can do whatever you've allowed that system to do.
And this brings up the idea that, like, security questions a lot of times for a hacker are like, it's like putting up a foam board in front of a semi truck and like hoping that it actually stops something. Like, let's say your security question is, who is my best friend in high school? This is the age of the internet. Like, they could figure out who your best friend was in high school pretty easily. Maybe not always, but in a lot of cases, your security questions aren't really usually, a lot of times when I'm putting in security questions because it's required on a website, I'm just thinking, if a hacker was really trying to figure these things out, it would really not be that hard. Like, what's the name of your eldest sibling? Super easy to find.
Mom's maiden name, all public records. That's one of the problems with public records.
So why are these things the security questions?
Because the company wants you to be able to do self recovery of your password.
Yeah.
They don't want to spend the money to have somebody interface with you.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can say, you know, oh, you forgot your password. What's your mother's maiden name? What street were you born on? What was your high school friend?
Yeah.
Which somebody who is after you can probably find.
And so just to move on so we don't stay on this tangent for too long, you and Louis did talk about two-factor authentication in previous Geek Speak episodes, right?
Yes, we have in the last 4 episodes. I can't remember which one exactly, but...
So yeah, if you want to find out more about security, aside from having a really good password for your email, go check out the Geek Speak episode where they talk about two-factor authentication, because that's another really great way to secure your accounts.
Yeah, both Google and I found an article from Google in the meantime since that show. And so both Google and Microsoft come back and said having a second factor authentication like Geoauth or something does stop about 99.9% of account takeovers.
99.9, y'all.
And that might be margin of error. It might actually be higher than that.
I feel like if you repeat things twice, it
absolutely
really sinks it in.
Yeah. You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. Call in with your questions, 963-2976.
So getting back on the streaming and TV shows, but if you want to call in with any question, it doesn't matter what it's about. If you have a question about something that went wrong on your computer or went right on your computer. It doesn't matter. Just give us a call. But back on the streaming and TV shows, you mentioned, I brought up the fact that Disney Plus right now is at $7 a month, or $6.99 to be exact. My question is, how long is that price going to last? Because it's lower than Netflix. That's lower than a lot of these other streaming services. But historically, Netflix has like raised prices at a sort of regular interval.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. What else? I think Hulu is at it's either $6.99 or $7.99.
Okay.
Price point with ads, which is kind of weird to me.
Yeah, like what's the point? I guess it's because it's cheaper, so it's all good. But
What it does is from what I read on it, it moves the ads to the beginning and the end of the whatever you're watching.
It's funny to me that services acknowledge how annoying ads are. You know, they're like,
right.
We know this sucks, so we're going to offer you something that doesn't suck instead of just something that doesn't suck in the first place.
Yeah, I'm at the point where I refuse to sit through advertisements.
Same.
It's just like, if I'm on YouTube, I'm just waiting for the thing to count down to 5 seconds and go click.
Yeah, like how do I focus all of my attention into not hearing any of the things that this advertisement is trying to sell me? That's where my brain is at.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just because we've been inundated with so much advertisements at this point?
It must be. I mean, I guess my problem is that it's very seldom useful for me. So it's just like, I don't want Tide Pods or whatever the ad is. It seems like there's a lot of, home goods advertisements on for what I'm watching for whatever reason.
Yeah. Interesting.
But that may just be my location, the way my network's set up. I don't know. But
yeah, well, do you use services to kind of hide your digital footprints at all when you're online?
Just on my laptops when I'm traveling.
Yeah.
So I have been using a browser on my phones called Brave, which has anti-tracking stuff in. I've used Firefox, which now by default has anti-tracking stuff turned on.
Yeah.
So
I have moved away from Chrome, actually, and into Firefox. And I didn't actually do it for that reason. I just did it because I wanted kind of like a clean slate. I was like, I'll check Firefox. But the fact that they have a built-in anti-Facebook tracking, is it just Facebook or
It's more than that, but I saw an article about Firefox trying to save the free internet and recently, but I haven't had a chance to go into it. But
right,
because I kind of agree because it is open source and they're trying to do anti-tracking by default.
Mm-hmm.
So really their shtick right now is making sure that we have a browser that by default respects your privacy.
Whoa, really? What a concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because Firefox comes from the open source sort of hacker ethos from the very beginning, doesn't it? The people who created Firefox. As opposed to Chrome, where you have Google, which we're going to talk about in a second, who used to have... I guess we'll just talk about it now, if that's okay.
That's fine.
Google used to have... In there, I don't know if it was their slogan. "Don't be evil," right?
Yeah, don't do evil or something like that.
Yeah, something.
But when they created Alphabet, that quietly went away.
Yeah, and just that alone should make you go, wait. They used to say "Don't be evil," and then they just got rid of that. Like, no, it's okay. We can be evil. So, speaking of this latest thing that happened, do you want to give us the rundown?
So it looks Google's trying to acquire 50 million, medical records from various sources to do whatever they're going to do with them. So they will have access to, 20% of people in the United States will have their medical records, so they can use them for who knows what advertising and other studies. Who knows what?
What? So are they acquiring them from places that store those medical records in sort of like a server type of, like it's a server and they store your medical records and Google's acquiring them that way? Or I guess I don't really understand what exactly Google is doing.
I haven't found a good answer for that part of it yet, where exactly this is coming from, other than I've seen Project Nightingale come up several times.
Project Nightingale?
Yeah, I think that's the Google's internal name for the project of acquiring these medical records. You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 963-2976. If you're a little further out, 970-963-2976.
So I'll bring up a question to you since we don't have any callers, because somebody asked me, actually Cody here, and I figured it would probably be a good question for on air because other people might have this question. So Cody recently, I don't know if he dropped his phone. I don't know what happened to his phone. Something happened to his phone, right? It doesn't work anymore. And he wanted to know if somebody gave him another phone, could he just swap the SIM cards? So my first thing I said was, if they are the same carrier, that's the first thing you should ask, right?
Right. So the two big ones, so Verizon and T-Mobile, I'd have to go look up the matrix for this, but they use GDSM or CDMA mm-hmm. for their...
I think GDSM is AT&T.
Well, Edge is AT&T.
Oh, okay.
And I think older AT&T is CDMA.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, you just need to be careful of which... and I think iPhones usually have all of them, but... And I'd have to go double check that. There's not an area of expertise, but
so in that way, that iPhones are unlocked. Then technically, is that what you would call it?
Yeah, they're really good about not letting, you know, like some of the larger companies get in there and fiddle with their firmware. So there's like, hey, you're going to carry our phone. Here it is.
And if you want to put an AT&T SIM card in it or a Verizon SIM card in it, you should be good to go. Is what you're saying?
Right.
Or T-Mobile or whatever.
Or Sprint. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you may have to contact your carrier and say, hey, I have a new phone, because each phone does have a unique identifier for the hardware inside the phone.
Yeah.
So you may need to say, hey, I have this this SIM card with this hardware identifier. I have this phone with this hardware identifier. And then usually they'll say, okay, we'll make the switch. But usually just throwing the SIM card in, as long as the phone's reasonably similar, it should just grab on and go.
Right. So, yeah. Like if you had an iPhone 4 and then you took the SIM card out of that and you try to put it in an iPhone X, it might not work. Although I don't know, have SIM cards changed that much?
No, the SIM card standard has not changed very much. Although I think there is a, I saw something recently where there's a smaller version. There's like a micro, there's a SIM card and there's like a micro SIM card that's even smaller.
Wow, and SIM cards are already pretty small.
Yeah, so I think there's a couple different form factors now, but I don't know if it's implemented yet or if it's just coming out on like this 5G phones are going to use the smaller SIM card or something like that.
So in conclusion, the two big things are making sure that it's compatible with the same carrier, and if it's iPhone, then it probably is,
right?
And then making sure that the phones are reasonably similar and aren't using different form factors for the SIM card sizes.
Right. And I think that may be a newer problem because, like you said, the SIM card hasn't really changed since it might be the late 90s.
Oh, wow.
So.
And then when was the first time you heard about this new?
Like 6 months ago.
Oh, okay.
So
you should be good to go.
Should, yeah. And if not, you know, if you're using one of the virtual service providers, Pebble, there's a whole bunch of them.
Okay.
But they're either contracted with one of the big four, Verizon, AT&T, Sprint, or T-Mobile or they're partnered with a couple of them. So like I had an old one that was Sprint, if I had Sprint, and it was Verizon if Sprint wasn't available.
Yes. The days of smartphones, cell phones, and carriers.
Still here. There's some pretty amazing deals to be had for, third party carriers like that.
Okay. Well, let's move it on and talk about what we got. I got two other things written down. One is digital assistants, because apparently Cortana's mobile app is being removed. Or we could talk about Star Wars and the new offerings, which also relates back to our discussion of Disney Plus streaming services. Pick and choose.
I don't know. It seemed like you're pretty into Star Wars. Let's go that direction.
I am pretty into Star Wars, so we will go on that. So Star Wars, I guess I can't say I'm that into it because I haven't watched the new Star Wars series, which is called The Mandalorian. And if you don't know what The Mandalorian, like if you don't know what that is just from hearing the name, I'll tell you that Jango Fett and Boba Fett bounty hunters came from a planet called Mandalore. So they are Mandalorians. So the Mandalorian series is about that. I don't know if it's about Jango Fett specifically or who it's about specifically. I know that it is set between The Revenge of the Sith, Episode 3, and the... What's the Episode 4 called?
Huh?
What's Star Wars Episode 4 called?
Star Wars, isn't it?
Yeah, but what's the name of Episode 4?
The Empire Strikes Back? No, that's the second one.
That's is it Return of the Jedi? No, that's the third. That's sixth.
I'm not into it enough. I don't remember.
How have I... Okay. I'm going to consult Google.
All right.
All the nerds out there are like, you don't know what the name is?
From the Wikipedia article, 5 years after the defeat of the Galactic Empire, a Mandalorian bounty hunter accepts an under-the-table job from an enigmatic client. And yeah, so should be fun.
Episode 4 is called A New Hope, for the record.
There we go.
So it's set after Revenge of the Sith, between Revenge of the Sith and Episode 4, A New Hope, about a Mandalorian bounty hunter. Which, by the way, Jango Fett is a Mandalorian bounty hunter. But I'm, like, I guess I'm a huge Star Wars nerd, but I'm not, like, a trivia type of person, if that makes sense.
Sure.
In that I don't always remember names and titles, as I just clearly demonstrated. Yeah. So I don't know if Jango Fett or Boba Fett is, like, the one in the new movies. Do you know?
I haven't really watched them, so.
You haven't watched any of them?
The last one I watched was the Return of the Sith.
Return of the Sith or Revenge of the Sith?
I can't remember. I'm amalgamating probably 3 or 4 different movies at this point.
So you're not a huge Star Wars fan, is what I'm getting at, what I'm learning about you.
Yeah,
but you like Star Trek.
Yeah, so I am a bit of a Trekkie. So
tell me about that, because isn't there something new in the Star Trek world universe for people to enjoy?
So Discovery was kind of, I jumped ship and went and watched The Orville, because it's kind of an homage to the classic, like, TNG Star Trek, which I really loved. And so the new one that has the buzz is Picard, which is set, I think, 20 years after the events of TNG. And it looks like it's probably made really well, and looks like it's gonna be a lot of fun, so I may end up having to figure out a way to watch it legally.
This also goes back to the streaming services thing, because it's not available on Disney, it's not available on Netflix, it's not available
it's a CBS property.
It's on the CBS island,
right?
You got to have cable to get it.
You either have to have cable, or you need to pay the $11 or $12 a month for the CBS, you know, like, standalone streaming service.
So there is a way.
Yeah. And I don't think you can stream it if you have, like, satellite or cable. So, but it'll be available, you know, on the standard channel, but I don't know how else you would get at it.
So you're telling me that you would have to, like an animal, tune in at a specific time and watch commercials?
It may not be a bad thing. Setting a little bit of a schedule instead of going, well, it's 2:30 in the morning and I want to watch, I'm going to watch 4 episodes of whatever it is.
So I have to watch it at a specific time instead of just being a victim to the whims of my binge watching nature. Well, in other Star Wars news, they just released a new Star Wars video game, which is called Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Okay.
Now, I have seen some technical demos for that.
Okay.
So just, you know, like...
Give me your general thoughts.
Graphically, it's beautiful. Okay. I don't know if the controls are any good or not.
All right, check one, graphically beautiful.
But it just, you know, I saw, you know, a 45-second technical demo for, you know, some thing on top of some sort of train thing. We're doing, you know, battle with droids or something, and it just looked phenomenal.
Imagine this. You're on top of a train on a distant planet fighting droids with a lightsaber. Does that sound cool? If it doesn't, then I don't know what to say. Sounds cool to me. Yeah, I don't know much about it, although I know that people have sort of compared it to, in terms of the the combat style, compared it to Dark Souls a little bit. Although I don't know if it's quite that hard, because Dark Souls is notoriously hard.
It has whatever you want to call it. It just
has a learning curve.
It's a very steep learning curve, and it's kind of notorious for that.
But if it's like that, it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to have a challenge when you play video games.
Absolutely. You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with
Lucas Turner. I'm the news director here at KDNK.
Have a great week. We'll be back the first week in December. See you then.
And stay tuned. Local news coming up next hour.